Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A very dangerous dissent that came out of a court of appeals case in Washington, D.C. There are something like 11 courts of appeals around the country. They're the main courts just under the U.S. Supreme Court. When I got out of law school, I was the law clerk. I was the guy that helped draft the opinions for Judge Thomas E. Fairchild. He was the chief judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Seventh Circuit back when I clerked for him. It's a wonderful experience, a wonderful man, wonderful judge. But Court of Appeals opinions frequently have the force of law because there are well over 10,000 petitions of certiorari, it's called, requests for the U.S. Supreme Court to review something, and they only can grant a couple of hundred of them. So basically, it's a very big deal, big deal. And we are going to get to that, but we're going to go to the lines. Victor of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Victor of Madison?
Hi. Aren't guns just little miniature rocket launchers? I mean, a bullet looks like a little tiny rocket. Anyhow, how about if we, no one personally can own a gun, and if you want to target practice or hunt, those are all locked up, and you have to, put down a deposit or your driver's, whatever. Then you got to bring them back, just like the old West. They're all locked up. You want to hunt or target practice, you got to go and get them out, bring them back. No one can personally own a gun. How about that?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I'll tell you why. Let me give you a quick history of gun ownership. I think it's important that a populace, for a lot of reasons, be permitted to have private arms. And here's what it is. Back in the Middle Ages, kings did not want peasants to have guns. They didn't have guns back then, but when they first invented them, they didn't even want them to have swords. They didn't want them to have swords. And when guns were first invented, and they were real crude and primitive in the 17th and 18th centuries, and then into the 19th century, a lot of kings did not want their subjects to have guns because they were afraid of a rebellion. And if you go back to read Machiavelli in the 16th century, he has a bad name because Machiavellian means sneaky and all that. But basically, a lot of what he wrote was pretty very interesting pre-Enlightenment. What I would say now would be democratic principles. And one of them was he advocated that the populace be permitted to have arms as a check on an autocracy, a potential autocracy. So I think people should have arms. I enjoy, frankly, in the Navy, the guns that we had in the Navy were bigger than anybody else's, believe me, but they're used to take out other ships. But a couple of times we go out on the fantail with basically the equivalent of an M16 or something and throw barrels over the stern and shoot them. And it was fun. I like target practicing. I really do. Went fishing up in Alaska off the Kenai Peninsula with a bunch of buddies who were all assistant U.S. attorneys, and we had target practice and pistols. It was a lot of fun. Some people like to hunt. I fish, but, I think that's good. That's fine. Now, the key is, Victor, how do you keep a balance between a citizenry that is permitted to bear arms, as they were not permitted to do even back in the days of swords with kings, but at the same time, keep the nut jobs out. That's what it is. And I've put out, I think, a pretty good idea of how to do that. But thank you for calling in, Victor. We're going to Dick of Madison, my friend. And Dick, you win a T-shirt today, Dick. So give your address to Luke. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, a little different subject. Did you happen to read the wonderful op-ed in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago from Governor DeSantis from Florida? He basically is calling the elites and the media people out, but they were all wrong about, how they looked at the pandemic. And basically, he's the only one that really knows what's going on, and he's doing the right thing down there in Florida. Now, here's a guy that last spring, if I'm not mistaken, said the same things, and then by summer, they had some of the worst outbreaks in the country in Florida. And the nonsense that's going on down there now, I can't help but think it's going to turn into something we don't want to see, too. But I'm just wondering what you think about. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, thanks for raising that. That's a topic today, which I am going to advance to right now because you raised a good one. Yes, I did read the editorial. I subscribe to the New York Times, the Washington, Wall Street Journal, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So I get some pretty good input from all sides. DeSantis is bad news. DeSantis, and this is a very, very dangerous fact, in polls and in private discussions among Republican bigwigs, everybody is beginning to say that the nominee in 2024 for the Republicans should be Ron DeSantis if it's not Trump. They all agree that if Trump wins, 51%, I swear 51% of the Republicans say they want him. If he runs, he'll swamp these people. But if he runs, it's just a pure autocracy play. He wants an authoritarian play. He wants to get back in, continue to wreck our country, sell it out to the commie Ruskies, Russian communists, our adversaries, basically steal as much money as he can, corrupt our government. But let's say he does not run. Let's say he is prosecuted and convicted for financial fraud in New York, for insurrection in Washington, for extortion in Atlanta, for the extortion call to Reffensburger. Let's say any of that happens. Or he's very, very badly roughed up by it, or he'll be 78. He'll be 78 at the time. Now, that's the age of Biden going in, but Biden is lean. He's a lean, clean fighting machine, Biden is. Trump looks like he hasn't passed up a lot of Big Macs, okay? And I don't know what his health will be. But, let's say he does not run. And I think basically he won't run. If he does not run, they're saying DeSantis. Now, take a look at DeSantis. DeSantis is a right-wing governor who has sucked up to Trump. And the COVID issue that you raised is the tip of the iceberg. There was a woman down there in their public health service who realized that DeSantis was lying about his statistics. He underreported. If they had 3,000, if they had, you know, say 1,000 deaths, he'd say they had 100. He'd say the rest were pneumonia or something. And yeah, they were pneumonia caused by COVID, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Putin did that, by the way, in Russia. So she put out an alert within the health department, not to the media, saying these figures are wrong. Here's the real figures. He sent a police team to her house, held guns on her husband, who was there with her two-year-old daughter, scared the hell out of him, went through the house, did a complete search, confiscated her computer. They look for the email, and then they have charged her with a felony. She's charged right now with a felony, not for disclosing this information, but for using an email address, which was a group address for the health department people, without authorization. But she was authorized. She had the password that was given to her. Their argument is that she was fired or quit, and therefore she should not have used it a few days later when she sent this thing. If you fire somebody or they quit and you don't want them to communicate with their prior colleagues, change the password. Bar her from doing it. They didn't bar her from doing it. It was customary down there. You could communicate. They're doing this to intimidate her. She has got to hire counsel. This guy is Putin-esque. He's no good. He's an authoritarian. Resist him. If you're a Republican, resist him. You can do better, a lot better. A lot, lot better. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. We get back, I'm going to talk about the Court of Appeals dissent in Washington, D.C.